Welcome, everyone, to Business Growth on Purpose. My name is Jose Palomino. I'm CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and it is my great pleasure every week to be interviewing experts from around the world, owners of other B2B businesses, and sometimes just sharing some of my personal insights from decades of helping businesses grow on purpose. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the episode. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. And our guest today is Tom Glasson of ScaleWise. And Tom's joining us from London, and he will be telling us all about what's happening now in this area of finding sales talent for fast-growing business, especially sales leadership, what he calls scrappy and skilled leaders who can really help take a business to the next level. So we're excited to have Tom join us, and we're going to learn a lot about what it takes to find the right kind of sales leaders that you need to get the growth you want. Well, welcome, Tom, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here, Jose. Thanks for having me.
Well, Tom, for our audience, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do and who you do it for?
Sure. Yeah. So ScaleWise, I'm the CEO and co-founder, and we work exclusively with seed to series C B2B tech startups, so typically VC-backed tech startups. And what we do is we give them flexible access to world-class revenue expertise to help them accelerate their growth. And that could be, I suppose, anything from a few hours a month of what we call scale coaching from an experienced, often full-time employed revenue operator, through to providing them with perhaps a fractional or an interim leader, such as a CMO or CRO or VP of sales, who could work in their business 2 to 3 days a week. And we're, I suppose, really fortunate to be in a position where we've been able to onboard several hundred of these really epic revenue leaders, both in the UK and the US, really because of my close connection that I have with a community called Pavilion, which used to be known as Revenue Collective. I'm sure some of your listeners will be members of Revenue Collective, but I founded the London chapter back in 2018.
Okay, is Pavilion similar to, I mean, in format to like a Vistage, or in the US, that's the big peer advisory group for business owners? But yeah, I think it seems more revenue focused.
It is, yeah. So Revenue Collective, as it was called, is a community of 7,000 revenue leaders around the world, okay, typically within fast growing tech. Across sales, marketing, customer success, RevOps. The London chapter, which I lead, has about 700 leaders. Wow. I've been really lucky just to get to know all of them through onboarding them over the last 3 years. And what we've done with ScaleWise is we've kind of gone and cherry-picked the best of the best from the community. Sure. I've got a pretty keen eye for what is a really good revenue leader. And so I've been fortunate to be able to onboard them as scale experts for ScaleWise.
So, I mean, what you're describing makes an awful lot of sense. If you're like, if you've just gotten some investment capital, you're trying to grow, but you're not at the point yet where you can just necessarily fill up all the headcount you'd like to have, right? So, but you still need the function done. And often, and let's see if you agree with this, often the founder might be good at hustling up some initial key interest in like big accounts maybe, but they're not necessarily a disciplined sales process owner. And they run out of gas after they got like off the ground, so to speak. So yeah, it sounds like what you do is you say, okay, owner or founders, we can help you bridge that to that next generation in the life of your business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that can be bridging that gap in a multitude of ways. It can be, supporting that founder to bring in a kind of VP of sales on a fractional or interim basis. It could be supporting a rep that's perhaps transitioning from a kind of AE role into a more of a kind of sales management or leadership role. And we're kind of providing some coaching to that individual to help them level up. We do a lot of work with marketing and customer success as well, supporting either the individuals within those teams or placing more senior folks into the team as well to help out.
Well, you mentioned senior folks, right? So sometimes organizations and a lot of people who've been listening to our podcast for a while know that we focus primarily in B2B, often in industrial manufacturing, those kind of businesses. Mm. So not necessarily, we touch a little bit into like the tech startup world or the technology-based world. But somewhere along the line, you need a sales leader, somebody to own the process, right? And, you know, we were having a conversation before this interview that you mentioned that, that those leaders are actually in short supply right now. So could you just expand on that? Because that might be, you know, somebody listening to this might say, yeah, I was just going to go out and I was thinking about starting a process of hiring myself a VP of sales or something. And you mentioned that those, they're not that many of them right now available or not as many as before.
No, and it's not that there's less of them available. It's that the demand for them has massively increased over the last couple of years. And the reason for that is that there has been record levels of VC investment into startups. In 2021, there was $621 billion invested into startups from VCs. Now that, you know, that's just a number, right? What does that mean? Well, that's more than double the amount that was vested the year before. So in 2020, it was less than half of that. And by the way, 2020 was a good year. Despite COVID, it was still a record year for VC investment. But so in addition as well to the amount of money that's going into these startups, there's also been a 25% increase in the volume of startups securing VC investment. And what this is doing is just creating a massive desire within these companies to hire, because what happens when that investment lands is you're looking to build out your team, typically your commercial team. And so everyone is hiring right now, whether that be SDRs or AEs or, you know, marketing folk. And obviously commercial leadership is a really important part of building that team. So whether that be a revenue leader or a marketing leader specifically, you know, those hires have never really been easy anyway, but now I think it's becoming even more challenging. And you know, there's an awful stat out there, which is that the average tenure for a VP of sales is now 18 months, which is completely crazy. So there's this real challenge. It's completely crazy. And there's, so there's real challenge both in terms of attracting, but then also retaining. And I think there's also a lot of mishiring that's going on as well. And there's a bunch of knock-on consequences that's having into the industry as well.
Well, with 18-month tenure, I mean, you basically, at that point, you know where the men's room key is and how to fill out certain, you know, procurement paperwork to you know, to buy a laptop. I mean, that's about as far as you've gone 18 months in. It's hard. And I know, you know, we often in sales, having been in, you know, a heavy sales and marketing career myself, it uses language of like sports and war and, you know, it's like go get them and all of that. And it sounds like, hey, we just got to hit the ground running, right? But there is something to be said about a seasoned and experienced head who says, okay, yes, but we need to know where we're starting from. We need to assess our strengths. We need to look at the market and so on. So I'm just curious, Tom, as you help people with often, I guess, providing somebody maybe even fractionally to bridge that gap. Let's say they turn around and say, well, no, we're looking to find somebody good. How do you help somebody, or what are some of the things people should be looking for to say, because you alluded to mismatches. I think that's probably a big contributor to 18-month average tenure is just flat out mismatches. People either say, I'm out because this is not for me, or the company says, you're out because you're not for us. Yeah. What makes for a good VP of sales or sales leader in this day and age? I mean, here we are in, you know, 2022 and globalization and technology companies and so on. What do you find is it makes the most sense?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I'll just start by saying that, you know, the number one reason why I believe the tenure is so short for revenue leaders, VP in sales, is that the people that are hiring these, and whether that's the CEO or the founder, or sometimes even the VCs that are pushing the CEO or founder, they often fail to understand or kind of properly define the role of the revenue leader, in particular the sales lead. And I have to say, I've seen that situation play out time and time again within companies that we've supported over the last few years. And you know, we actually did this research report last year, which we're launching in April, on that kind of, the passages and pitfalls of going from Series A to B. And we had some incredible quotes in there from people that we interviewed and the research that we gathered. And it was quotes like, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that, you know, we were pushed by our investors to hire a CRO, but we didn't know what a CRO really was or what to expect or what good looked like. And ultimately this hire became protracted and was really difficult to get right. And you know, I think that is a common story that we're hearing a lot. And I think that the challenge is that more often than not, the diagnosis of the issues that need solving at that particular point in time aren't properly understood. And so you touched on it earlier, the CEO, the founder has led sales to a certain point. You know, they need to now relieve that kind of pressure of selling day in, day out. They've probably got other more important things to do, raising funding, you know, building other departments. And so they think, right, we're going to solve this problem by hiring a really experienced revenue leader. And unfortunately, they often go down the CRO route, the chief revenue officer route, which, by the way, isn't the right route to go down if you're, you know, less than 10, 15 million in my view. That's kind of comes in a bit later stage. And so that's the first issue that I think happens is they hire someone too senior for the stage that they're at. And what ends up happening is that senior hire comes in, they may have been leading some decent sized teams, perhaps even in the same industry that, you're in, but they haven't been at that scrappy kind of boots on the ground level for recently enough, quite frankly. You know, it was maybe 3 or 4 gigs ago that they were at that earlier stage, you know, building out a team with a handful of reps. And when you're at that stage, there's a whole lot of things that you need to do, you know, building out a playbook, putting the processes in place, you know, making sure your CRM is working effectively, you know, getting the KPIs and dashboards in place so you can report on performance, you know, building some level of predictability into your sales cycle, like, and your marketing plan. And that's all stuff that actually there's quite a lot of grunt work involved in that. There's quite right. a lot of rolling and up the sleeves.
And if you bring somebody in who's pretty senior and says, they like that title, I'm the CRO. They're saying, okay, so who's in charge of sales ops? Who's in charge of sales enablement? And the owners or the founders are looking at him, like, or her, saying, what do you mean where those people are? That's what we need you to do.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating thing. And I've seen this happen a lot with other well-funded startups that I've been involved with over the years that like to get the boutique name, the big name, somebody who came, well, this person came from Pricewaterhouse, nothing wrong with that, but, or from IBM. And I'm saying, yeah, but like, you're not them. And those, these are people who don't even have to get their own coffee. And now they have to plug in the coffee maker. Yeah. It's a very different thing.
Yeah. It is a very different thing.
So that's a very interesting dynamic about size appropriate experience because the tasks are different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely right. And the same applies, like you might go ahead and hire a VP of sales rather than a CRO. But actually, the VP sales that you've hired, you hire for their amazing industry experience. But actually, the size of the company, as you quite rightly touched on, is maybe very different. And therefore, they just don't have that scrappy nature that's required. And often these hires, they don't work out. They come into the business on typically a big salary on the basis that they've got a nice black book, which is very alluring. They can tap into all of these companies that they've sold into in the same vertical as the company they're joining. But normally what happens is they leave before they're fired because it's not what they were looking to do. It's too in the weeds. It's coaching SDRs in the morning, ride-alongs with AEs in the afternoon. And I think the biggest challenge actually for any VP that's joining at this early stage is how do you straddle those kind of on the ground, kind of gritty experiences that you have, with then perhaps having to build a revenue plan, a budget, really understand the go-to-market strategy, be able to perhaps articulate that at board level as well. And I think there's not a lot of VPs of sales that can straddle those two things effectively in an early stage company. Certainly not what I've seen. You have either the kind of player managers that probably own their own quota, manage a small team, but are really not thinking about the strategy and kind of building that plan, really thinking about unit economics and some of the kind of core KPIs of growing that business. Or you get those people that are very good on the strategy, good at thinking big picture, maybe good in the spreadsheets, but aren't doing the coaching and the kind of grunt work at the ground level. So, I think that's the biggest challenge is finding someone that can combine both of those things, that can build the team, whilst they're leading it and perhaps even closing deals at the same time.
Well, so that's a pretty rare person, hopefully not unicorn rare, but somewhat rare and hard to find. And you kind of have to hang in there a little, because what also happens, impatience sets in, right? I'm guessing, Tom, that some people, and they want relief. You know, the owner's been, or the founder's been like grinding this thing out, holding sales, doing development, you know, talking to funders, and they say, man, can't somebody really just step in and help me out with this? Because I really want to build my, you know, continue building the empire. You know, one of the things we do like at Value Prop is our focus is all like a strategy, planning, and accountability for growth. So we always say, before you go and hire a rep, hire a manager, hire a marketing firm, before you do all those things, which are valid things to do, you have to have like some sort of game plan, what you want to do and how growth is going to happen. I mean, that's where we come in on the front end. What I love about what you're talking about, though, is it really is nitty gritty on that. And so how does scale wise meet that moment when you're talking to somebody who says, I think we need a CRO, we need a VP of sales, we need a senior vice president of sales. And you're saying, well, maybe there's a better way to slice that. So I'm just curious how you've done that, because part of this, what I like to get from you as well, Tom, is just understand how you came about building scale-wise, because you're not only a service provider, you're also a founder yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll quickly tell you how I came about building scale-wise. And that was really just down to the fact that through building the London chapter of the Revenue Collective, I suppose I met so much talent, so many great revenue leaders through the last few years. And I realized that I wanted to find a way of unlocking that talent. I wanted to find a way of kind of helping more startups navigate the scaling journey and avoid some of the kind of bumps in the road. And there always is bumps, right, when you're scaling. So we had this exceptional talent in the group that I wanted to unlock. But I also realized that there were a ton of revenue leaders, you know, of a certain age, normally kind of, you know, 40s, 50s, who wanted to build a more flexible portfolio career rather than kind of putting blood, sweat and tears into a single startup with, you know, sometimes pretty poor job security. You know, we know the kind of tenure of a revenue leader now. So I could see that there were these really experienced revenue leaders who wanted to advise or coach or consult. Which gives them kind of more flexibility and less stress than perhaps being full-time employed. But I think part of the challenge for these experienced leaders is how and when to take that first step from full-time employment to that kind of more plural portfolio career. And it, you know, I think it can seem quite daunting giving up a salary and having to find enough work whilst kind of balancing, you know, business development and contracts and invoicing and payments and all those things that you've got to do. And so, you know, we founded ScaleWise to solve that problem. And, you know, we take care of things like the business development and the contracts and the invoicing on behalf of our scale experts. So they just don't have to worry about that stuff. And it's, yeah, and kind of to your point about, well, how do we then solve that problem when a client comes to us? And I think the first thing we ask them is, and we understand is, do they really need the role that they're looking to hire for? You know, if they're asking for a CRO, we'll diagnose whether it is a CRO they actually need. And more often than not, it's not. But if it is a VP of sales, for example, I think there's two or three different approaches they can take. So they either go out to market and they hire a full-time VP of sales. But we're seeing that that's taking 9 to 12 months minimum right now in the current market. You know, when you consider the search, the selection, the interview process, you know, the shortlisting, the notice periods, everything. So, and that's a long time to wait when you're in a fast growth business that's perhaps growing triple digits. You know, in 9 to 12 months time, that business is going to be probably quite different and might even require a different type of leader in it. So that's obviously a route they can go down. But what we're finding is because of the challenges in hiring for these roles, then getting in an interim or fractional leader, you know, via the kind of bench that we have is a really effective way of just plugging that gap, freeing up that CEO immediately, but also getting them in to build the foundations of that team, put in some basic processes, the playbooks, and then importantly, working on hiring that full-time leader, that replacement for them. And they're in a much better position, you know, as an experienced revenue leader to find and secure another revenue leader than perhaps leaving that to the CEO or founder that perhaps hasn't done that role before themselves. So that's the first thing we help them do is just plug the gap, give them some immediate relief and take that task of hiring off their plate. And then the second thing that we can do and that we often are doing now is we look into their team and we say, well, who in this team has potential and how can we support them to level up? So rather than having to go externally, into the market, you know, waiting that long time, maybe paying a high price for them? Can we find someone, you know, that may be a senior AE that we can then support on a coaching basis, what we call scale coaching? And we'll find an experienced VP of sales to work with that individual for, you know, several hours a week or month. And it really helped them level up. And so they might be a great closer of deals. They might have some kind of raw management capability, but we're going to then make them more rounded. We're going to help them understand unit economics, think about go-to-market strategy, present at board level, you know, really make sure that they've got their eye on the core KPIs of the business that they need to be driving. And so, and it's been great. By the way, it's been great being able to help these companies level up their team. And what a great message to send as well from a culture standpoint, that we invest in our people, certainly in the market that we have at the moment, where retention is, you know, a really, really big and important thing. And sure. And developing from within is something that we really believe in.
Well, and it's hard to farm out like any level of passion. So what I like about your model is the people who are in this fractional role working through that you found through like the revenue collective and so on are people who love what they do. They've actually are self-selected. They actually probably like the stimulation of having like two clients that they're working on, you know, two sets of different problems so they don't get bored. That's great. It sounds like to your clients, they get a flexible resource instantly deployed. And yet at the same time, they can, you know, they can see where that takes them. And then just freeing up the founders to do what they do best, which could be, you know, product development focus, could be raising next level, next series level of funding, whatever that is, or securing a strategic partnerships, things like that, that really drive next level growth, seems like a really win-win. So I really applaud you for on the entrepreneurial side, just building and designing this business based on resources you saw you had available to you and how you put them to use. I think there's a great lesson in that for anybody who's running a business. And then I really appreciate, Tom, your reflection on just the challenges of leading sales effectively, that it's not one size fits all. And it really is about, like, there is something to be said about sales and sales management skills, that it's not just, you know, sometimes they can look to people who don't do it for a living, like, well, anybody can sell. I mean, how hard is that? Just take the order. And, you know, I'm saying, well, that's like the single hardest thing to do in business is closing the deal. So
absolutely.
Well, Tom, this has been a great, great conversation. Lots of stuff we covered on stuff that I think is very interesting for our listeners. If somebody listening wanted to learn more about what you're doing, where should they go to find out more about you, about your company, and what you might do for them?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we've got a pretty simple and memorable website, and that is scalewise.com. They're happy to email me, which is tom@scalewise.com. You know, we launch our platform next month, which will enable clients, prospective clients, to come in and search and filter and find their perfect scale expert and engage with them via the platform. So we're excited about that. But also, if people want access to the research report we've produced over the last few months on this scaling journey and some of the challenges and pitfalls and best practices of building your sales and marketing team, then they can just email me and I'm happy to send them a copy pre-release. So that'll be early access to that research report as well.
Well, Tom, fantastic. Really appreciate you stopping by at Business Growth on Purpose and telling us a little bit about Business Growth on Purpose and how it works with the resources you bring. So thank you again for joining us.
Awesome. My pleasure, Jose. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.